Tess Shavat, Thursday the 25th of January, Rabbi Benji Morgan, Yetzias Mitzrayim, The Secret to It All.
To the last year then.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So, in this week's parasha, we kind of reach the climax and the pinnacle of so much which we have been waiting for since somewhere in the middle of Bereishis. And everything that is kind of that point of each of the lessons and the stories from Yosef, Yaakov, Yosef, the brothers, the Shvatim, the Makos, the Shibud, comes to kind of its highlight over here in this week's parasha in B'Shalach. So, it's Yadua, the Ramban, at the end of last week's parasha about the lessons that we need to learn and why Yetzias Mitzrayim and neither Makos, and why when we say Kiddush on Yom Kippur, is someone who's making Kiddush on Yom Kippur. Someone who's making Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah. Someone who's saying the Shema twice a day. You've got a mezuzah, you've got tefillin. Everything seems Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're kind of almost obsessed with Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Ramban is Yadua, which is not for today's talk, about the Limudim, and what happened at Yetzias Mitzrayim and why it's so important in terms of the Makos. But today I'm talking about something which was highlighted to me by my 9-year-old daughter on Seder night. So we had quite a few guests around Seder night, and maybe around the table there were 25, 30 people, and it was this long table. Some people at the table had never been to a Seder night before, and they were waiting for quite a long time to eat. Someone hadn't tipped them off to have something to eat beforehand. So there's nothing set on the table other than, as you know, maybe it's a plate, Seder plate. There's no food on the table. Everyone's listening to the stories of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And my daughter, who's 9 years old, asked the question that made the whole room go quiet. She says to me, "Daddy, who took us out of Mitzrayim?" I said, "Oh, that's a good question. That's the type of question we're about to discuss now. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. But how do you know Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim?" So that's what tonight is about. So she says, "Well, if Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, who put us in Mitzrayim? Who put us in Mitzrayim?" And the whole table goes quiet. Because here we are, celebrating Yetzias Mitzrayim. With miracles, Hashem took us out. But if we really maminim, we know that Hashem put us in Mitzrayim. So then if you follow the story through, if someone gets treated by a doctor in a hospital, and he's so excited, he says, "Thank you so much for healing me. I was in this terrible, I don't know what happened, I was on the street, this guy ran me over, and it seemed almost deliberate. But thank you for seeing to me." And then the guy takes off his mask of operating. He's like, "You were the guy driving that car." So now suddenly he's got such a car, so it's over to him. We cannot be blinded in our munah to believe that Hashem had nothing to do with the pain and the suffering, but only to do with the Geula and the Yeshua. We can't be, a real Maimon recognizes Hashem's in everything. But then, what is Yetzias Mitzrayim about? So Chaya asked that question, and the room goes quiet, and all eyes turn on me. And I said to her, "Chaya, it's a great question, but really, if you really want to know the answer, you have to come to a Shia in the Torah way in a few months' time. Tonight is not the time," but I gave her the 2-minute answer, but then I said, "I'm going to expound on it a few months later. And what was very interesting was, just by way of Hakdama, that actually we, over the winter break, we went to Wales for a few days, and there were some very icy conditions just over the Goyish New Year, about the 1st of January. The M4 was on red alert, and I was driving back, and my wife said to me, it was 9:45 at night, and my wife suddenly said to me, she said, "There's a helicopter on top of our car." So I said to my wife, no, there isn't a helicopter on top of our car. The car was shaking. I said, we've lost control of the car, 75 miles an hour, and I'm going to try and get the car to the side of the road, but I couldn't steer or anything. The back right tyre had blown out. So Baruch Hashem, we said, I'm going all that Shabbos, so Baruch Hashem, we were okay, and all that happened was the back right tyre had blown out. But when I pulled over to the side of the road, then I called up the RAC. The RAC, while you're waiting, they said, thank you for calling, appreciate your call. Just to let you know that there's 3 hour waiting times because of the freezing weather conditions. We've got 5 kids at the back of the car, a blown out tyre. Person answered the phone, I said, listen, please, could you do anything? I'm sitting here on the side of a motorway, could you do anything? He said, okay, we'll put you on a 45 minute to hour priority motorway waiting list. As I put the phone down, I got a phone call back. Hi, I said, hello. He says, hi, are you on the M4 between Junction 18 and Junction 22? He says, yeah. He says, well, look in your rear view mirror, I'm right behind you. I'm talking about within 60 to 90 seconds of me putting the phone down, the orange lights were behind the cars. He jumps out of the car. And he says, I bet you weren't expecting to see me that quickly. I said, no, I wasn't. He says, well, I have to tell you, you're very lucky. I said, what do you mean? He says, look up there. I look up to Shammai. He says, that's where I live. I was like, yeah, okay. But where, I know I'm a rabbi, but where actually do you live? And he says, no, up there. He's pointing up to the Junction 18 at the top. And he says, I actually live there, and I was on finishing my shift, and I'm the only one here for miles. In the top of Wales, I'm the only one here for miles. But you're very lucky because I was just turning off Junction 18, I got the call, so I continued along. He says, I've never responded to a call that quickly. And within about 12 minutes, the whole tyre had been changed, the whole thing was done, and we were on our way. So I was talking to the kids afterwards about the hashgacha of someone breaking down exactly at 9:45, Junction 18, he's just pulling off, 15 minutes later, we would have been... And Chaya turns up again and she says, but Daddy, we could have not had the flat tyre in the first place. And it's very interesting because when I teach Chassanim, then a lot of times when you do the follow-up with Chassanim, then they come back and they say, you know, you made it sound so amazing, so perfect. What happened? Is it just me? Is it just me that finds it so difficult to really create Shalom bias? And a lot of times the mistake that we make is that, for example, in a relationship, we're looking for that Yeshua, we're looking for that dream. It's almost like we're looking to avoid the challenge. So what I want to discuss today is understanding why Yetzias Mitzrayim is actually the yesod of everything that a yid stands for. It's the yesod of everything that we live for. And actually, it will help us, and it's helped me a lot in my life, as we face adversity, as we face fear, as we face challenge, because the reality is that every single person, as the Mesillas Yesharim says, is here lamoid bin Isoyim. But having a new and fresh perspective, and maybe, as the Mesillas Yesharim says, maybe these are things that we all know already, but to chazer them together is also something which is worthwhile. So, to understand a little bit deeper, just to look at the Gemara in Irvin, and you'll see, we're going to look through a few different parts of the sugya, and hopefully they'll come together. So, the Gemara in Erevin says, you'd give it on a base. Why is it that we were Beis Hillel Azoicha to be Kevea the Halacha Kamoisan? Mipnei Shenoichim Va'aluvin Hoyu, V'shoinim Divreim, V'divrei Beis Shammai. Because when Beis Shammai would come and put in the Beis Medrash their Shitta forward, they would say their Shitta. Beis Shammai would get up and they'd say their Psak. Fair enough. So why do we paskin like halacha like Beis Hillel? No, because Beis Hillel were noichim ba'aluvin. What did they do? They would say, this is what Beis Shammai say. And we say like this. This is Beis Shammai, and they were makdim divrei. They would first say to Beis Shammai, and then they'd say Beis Hillel. We all know that as much as Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah, we're looking for Amito Shel Torah. It's very nice that they seem to have manners, they were gentlemen, they seem to have good etiquette, and they were noichin ba'aluvin. But we're trying to get to the psak over here. So why is it that we go with Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai just because they were noichin ba'aluvin? It doesn't seem correct. Surely, even if you say it in a bit of a rude way, or you don't explain the other opponent's opinion, why would that be a reason for psak of Torah, Shamita Shel Torah, like that? So as Purim comes up, the famous Gemara, "Mechay Vinish Libesumi Adal Yoda Bein Or Harman Varuch Mordechai." It's very interesting. In my work at JLE, you sometimes learn these Gemaras that you've been singing maybe since you were a young boy, and then someone just asks, "You're sitting and learning the Gemara? We're learning the Gemara in Megillah Zanon Beis," and this boy called Ben, he said to me, "What did we just learn? He said, surely the celebration should be the opposite. The celebration is that the fact that you know it's Baruch Mordechai, you know it's Or HaMon, and that we won. You're not sure? Why would you ever want to get to a place, even just before, or at that place, where you're not sure whether to say Or HaMon or Baruch Mordechai?" You know, the Tikkuni Zayin and Zayin on base, which talks about Purim and Yom Kippur being related. Purim is Kariyas al Shem Yom HaKippurim. And we know that Yom Kippurim and Purim have this relationship. And we look in Yom Kippur, the Gemara in Yuma, Peivon Beis says, Amar Ish Lakish, Gedoyla Tshuva, Shezdoinus Nasis Loi Kuskuyas. That Tshuva is so great that the very mistakes themselves turn into merits. I'm going through a few different places around Shas that we see certain ideas, and then hopefully we'll bring them together. So don't worry if you're not following why the different ideas so far, just hold each thought as we go along. So the Gemara says that Shuva is Zdinus Nasus Lokus Chuyas. So if we think about this again, if someone is in debt to the bank, and he goes and he pleads with the bank manager for a clean slate, we understand why, in the best case scenario, he would get a slate clean. We understand that. That makes sense. But imagine someone came back from the bank and said, "I've got great news. You know that minus 5,000? He didn't let me off. He just said, let's just scrape away the minus. Now that 5,000 is a plus. Zedonis nasis leikas chuyas. The Radiyani Shari Tshuva explains it. So in the Shuv Me'av on the Rambam. But the mitzvah, the reality is that Gedoyla Tshuva shezedonis nasis leikas chuyas. It's almost like this correlation between Yom Kippur and Purim again. Yom Kippurim and Purim. Is the Purim, we're saying, almost, yeah, Yom Kippurim, it's almost like we're saying that the Zdainas Azchuyas, the Haman, you're not sure whether you should say Baruch. It's this kind of confusion. And Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch says that it's only on Yom Kippur that we bring a Sori La'azazel. A Sori La'azazel. Only on Yom Kippur do we bring a Sori La'azazel. What is that about? The rest of the year, all the Karbonos, we're bringing the Beis Hamikdash. And on Yom Kippur, a Sori La'azazel. So in order to understand this, there's a mindset in philosophy, which I want to explore today. We'll do it with the time that we have. Which is that there's two ways that we can live our lives, two mindsets, two paradigms, and two perspectives within which we can view everything in our lives. Most people in the secular world view their life through what is called Aristotelian logic. Aristotelian logic, which came from the famous philosopher Aristotle. Now, Aristotelian logic actually makes sense mathematically, and is the way that I would say most people live their lives. He had three laws, and it goes like this. The first law is the law of identity, which means that A is A. Most people agree with that. We'll call it Aleph is Aleph. Most people who say, is Aleph Aleph? Yes, they agree that Aleph is Aleph. The law of contradiction. A is not non-A. Aleph is not base. Base is not Aleph. The law of the excluded middle, which means that A cannot be A and non-A, neither A or non-A. And I quote here to you Aristotle in Metaphysics 7, 1011b, which says it is impossible for the same thing at the same time to belong and not to belong to the same thing in the same respect. This, then, is the most certain of all principles. It has become the logic and the habit of our thinking and seems natural and self-evident that A is not B, B is not A, A can't be A and B unless it's a schizophrenic. And the reality is that's how we live our lives and that's how we make our choices and that's how we look at maybe the different strands in our society. That's how we differentiate between Gehenim and Gan Eden. That's how we differentiate between Chet and Avera and Mitzvah. That's how we differentiate between everything, right and wrong. It seems like it's almost poshut. But hopefully, actually, by the end of this talk, actually, we'll see that Aristotle is not partial at all. And actually, what's much closer to the MS is something called paradoxical logic. Now, paradoxical logic, in many Israelis travel all the way to somewhere in Thailand or the Far East to try and discover the truth of paradoxical logic without realizing it's deeply rooted in our sources. Sorry?
No.
No. Paradoxical logic is deeply rooted in, and this is the concept of paradoxical teachings. Gravity is the root of, this is some of the paradoxical teachings. Gravity is the root of lightness. Stillness is the ruler of movement. These are paradoxical teachings, which is, you say, Chochmah v'Goyim. This is what they teach, that gravity is the root of lightness. Stillness is the ruler of movement. What does that mean? That means, could there be something like that would be called gravity if there wasn't something called lightness? Would there be something called stillness if there wasn't a ruler of movement? And whenever I give this idea over in JLE, people say, psh, why? Because you're quoting Hegel in the Science of Logic. They like that. It's very, very clever. All right, that's good. Right. Which is why today I'm not, when I quote them, which is why when I continue, which does work here, and you look actually at the what Shimon Shmuel Fohash has to say, it's unbelievable. What does it mean? It means that actually, in most of our lives, the way that we kind of look at the differences, between us and other people, between us and the things that we oppose, is in an escaping route. And I'll quote to you the Zohar in Parashat Tazria, Daf Mem Zayin on Beis. He says that Shlomo HaMelech says, "V'ra'isi ani sheyesh Yisroim l'chochma min hasichlus." I've seen that there's chochma is so much better than sichlus. Ask the Zohar, do we need Shlomo HaMelech to tell us that chochma is better than sichlus? Yeah, you know what sichlus is, yeah? So do I need Shlomo HaMelech to tell us that chochma is better than foolishness? So he says the Zohar is unbelievable. He says, no. He says, I see a teyeles l'chochmosa de ilmoli le'ishtakach shtusa ba'alma lo'ishtemoy da chochmosa. If not for the fact that there was sichlus, there would not be such a thing as chochma. What Shlomo HaMelech is saying is not that I need, you know what? Chochma is better than foolishness. That's not what Shlomo HaMelech is saying. Shlomo HaMelech is saying that actually chochma needs to thank foolishness. Because if not for foolishness, there would not be such a thing as chochma. If not for the idea that someone could say something silly, then could they ever say something wise? If not for the fact, so the Zohar continues on, Rabbi Yitzchok, Moshul l'mosuk b'mah. What's the moshul? A moshul of sweet and sour. Mar de la yoda inesh taima de masika ad de toim taima de marira. That you cannot know what is sweet until you know what is sour. Man ovid lahai masika, what has made something sweet? Have a oima hai marira. That, what made it sweet? It's the bitter itself. And he says, that, and the Greek says the same also with darkness, nahira, and darkness and light as well. That means, Aristotle would say, what makes light light? A is A, doesn't need darkness. Light is light because it's light. What makes something sweet? It's sweet because it's sweet. What makes something sour? It's because it's sour, says the Zohar, no. Actually, it's only, says Shlomo HaMelech, it's only because there was sichlus, there can even be such a thing as chochma. It's not because, it's not the chochma in itself, oh, that's a piece of chochma. No, Shlomo HaMelech is something very deep. It's only because of sichlus, there can be such a thing as chochma. It's only because we can fall in the sinus that we can overcome them. So, the big question that people have when they see this is, when they hear this is, they think, well, in that case, what are you saying? You know, if you're struggling, I brought this along just in case you're struggling. To understand. What do you see here? What is it? Is it two faces or is it a cup?
A murderer.
It's a cup.
It's
So the truth is that it's both, right? It's two faces and a cup, yeah? Now, what Aristotle... Two faces and a cup. Now, what Aristotle would say is, the cup is the cup, let it just stand alone, it doesn't need the two faces, right? Let it just stand alone. What the Zohar is saying is, that actually, no, the very outline of the cup is the two faces. If you get rid of the two faces, you won't have a cup. If you delete the two faces here, the cup disappears. What makes the chokhmah chokhmah? The mar. What makes the mar? The two faces. That's paradoxical logic. Why does the cup disappear? Because the only way you can get rid of the two faces, yeah, that's Aristotle's question. It's a good question. It will, whole thing will be white. Yeah. So that is what you've just understood there. That aha moment is you understanding Shlomo HaMelech when he says Ra'isi ani sheyesh yisurin l'chochma min ha-sichlus. That aha moment, because we most time think, just what do you need all the sichlus for? Just have the chochma. So Shlomo HaMelech is saying no. The very outline. Now it's our job in our lives to make that the backdrop, the thing that we don't do the backdrop. And I think the mitzvahs, the chatoim that we don't do the backdrop, and the mitzvahs that we do the foreground. That's what Bechira is. Bechira is to actually choose to do what's right. I'm not saying that it's all the same. That's the biggest mistake. What a lot of people, when they hear this, and this is the reason why it's so dangerous if this is not taught in the right way, is because a lot of people, when they see this, they say, ah, so you're saying it's all the same thing, right? So you're saying, whether I do the black, whether I do the white, it's all part of one picture. Shem Echad, everything's one, merdik. I used to think, like Aristotle, I could only do mitzvahs. Now you're telling me mitzvahs, anaveiros, shlema melech, everyone's celebrating everything, right? So that's a mistake. That's taking it too far. That's what Shabbatai Tzvi did. And that's what, throughout history, we've seen that there's been people that have been mistaken, because the reality is, and as much as Zudinus Nasus Leikus Chuyus, the Rambam says, there's one person who can't do tshuva, and that's the person who says Echtev Oshuv. So according to this, it's a whole different understanding. What does it mean, Echtev Oshuv? Once he understands how much light can be created against the backdrop of darkness, he says, Echte, Ha'oshev, can you imagine? B'mokim shabali tshuvim oimdin. I'm going to be in such a strong place. If I bring a bit more darkness in my life, if I color this in really dark, then the cup's going to go even lighter. So that's Zogter Rambam. Of that, Echte, Ha'oshev, that's Eloi Kapora. On that, you don't have Kapora. Why? Because you've now embraced something which you shouldn't have embraced. There is a place in this world to recognize the difference and the boundaries between the dark and the white. We have to be Bochar to Bachayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I put before you Chayim and Moves. It says, Bochar to Bachayim. But there is before you Chayim and Moves. And the only reason why there's such a thing called Chayim is because there could be a thing called Moves. But now you have to be Bochar to Bachayim. Someone who chooses the darkness. I always give this moshel in when I speak to these chassanim, I explain to them that actually, if you do have it, Yom Kippur itself, right? Yom Kippur, the day Rosh Hashanah Pinchas has this whole marechet on it, that actually Yom Kippur is the day that we caught back with the Rabbeinu Shleilam. That means that, in theory, the happiest day of Klal Yisrael's life wasn't the day that we came on with him, it was the day that we came on with him after completely betraying him. Zedonis Nasalis Dekasrius is because actually the strength of a relationship is the ability to stand back up again, even against the backdrop of when it's been broken. And the reality is that the strength of those relationships are even stronger, and that's what Yom Kippur is about. So someone said to me, well, in that case, maybe you should have an argument once a month. No, maybe if it's that good, if you can come back together. So I said, don't try that at home. Right? Don't come back to say, listen, we just heard this idea that the strength of relationship is even stronger against the backdrop of darkness. Why? Because we have enough brokenness in our lives. We have enough opportunity for chet in our lives, so we don't need to go looking for it. But once we're there, we have to recognize that that is also part of the Rebbeinu Shleilam's plan. Zoktiv Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, that the whole Sorei La'azazel in Yom Kippur is because it's a day when we actually recognize that. It's lahafiles koyach hisnagdus. That it's only because of paradoxical logic, it's only because we had the hisnagdus, it's only because we had the yitzhara, it's only because we could fail, that we actually have this unbelievable simcha of the red string turning to white. What made the white string white? The red. So we bring a soy la'azazel in Yom Kippur. As you go through to Yom Kippurim, a day on Purim, why is it adela yoda? Because we all know the famous Chazal that says what the signet ring of Haman did, None of the Nevi'im could do. What did Haman do? Haman brought us back to Tshuva. Now, there's all different other discussion, which is not for now, which is how much Bechira and how much is, if Haman was such a great guy, then why is it Bechlal that he's punished? That's a whole different sugya. But the reality is that the signet ring of Haman, when we get drunk on Purim, we're recognizing that actually, paradoxically, we would never be in a place we are today if not for the signet ring of Haman. And what about Beis Shammai? Beis Hillel used to get up. Sorry, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So Beis Shammai used to get up and they would say their drosha. They'd say their thing. They'd give their psak. Beis Hillel, what did they do? They would be makdim, they would be Beis Shammai to Beis Hillel. What does that mean? They would first paint the outline of what their opposing view was, and then they'd say their view. So we asked the question, it's very nice that you said your view, but why does that bring you to Amita Shel Torah? Because this is Amita Shel Torah. Einu ve'einu divrei Lekeim Chayim means that it's all part of one picture. Beis Shammai got up and they were closer to what we were discussing, and again, they were closer to not saying their opposing view. Whereas Beis Hillel, how are they closer to that Amita Shel Torah to Psak? Because they were Noichim Ba'aluvin, right? They were actually painting the backdrop for their, they understood that without the opponent, without the Hisnagdus, they didn't actually stand. What makes the sweet the sour? It's only because someone could argue with them that they even Pechlal had a shitter. So therefore they were closer to the Eilu Ve'eilu Divrei Lekim Chaim. So how does that bring us to Yetzias Mitzrayim? Because actually, unlike what Chaya pointed out, if we look in the Haggadah, we don't deny the fact that Ribbono Shel Olam was the one who put us in Mitzrayim. That's not what Sifrei Yetzias Mitzrayim is about. In fact, as we go through all the parashas and we see now what's going on in this week's parasha, it's not that we're in denial. We say, oh, suddenly Hashem stepped in. Hashem wasn't there and suddenly Hashem stepped in. That's Apikarsus. One step before. When we were in the car on the way home, and Chai said, well, who made us break down? Just on a personal note, that night when I put my kids to bed, and that Shabbos, when I said Hagomel, I had a new appreciation of what it meant to be alive, of what it meant to have a family, what it meant to have everything that we have. And the reality is, that if that would not have happened, I didn't explain this to her at the back of the car, but if that would not have happened, then I would not have had that appreciation. The Mesillas Yesharim, when he talks about Lamed bin Nisoyim, what he means is, that in a very deep way, if not for the fact that we could fail, then actually we could never achieve that lightness. And in fact, the darker our lives, the greater the light that can be achieved. That the darker the Zdonis, the greater the Zchuyos that can come from it. Yetzias Mitzrayim, as we tell our families and as we learn this ourselves, we have to recognize that actually, that what the Kor Barazel did for us, that's part of the Yisipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. The reason why Yetzias Mitzrayim is the secret to it all is because whether it's Tefillin, whether it's Mezuzah, whether it's Kiddush, the Torah isn't there just as a history lesson. It's there for us to remember. Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim is remembering because every single one of us has our own personal Mitzrayim. Every single one of us has our own personal Golus. And we kind of think, we wait for the Yeshua, Ribbono Shel Olam, remember us. Without recognizing that actually at the time of that Sora, that Mitzar itself is something Hashem's put us in. Mitzorim, the Tzaddik says, Mitzrayim, Mitzorim is because actually we all have our boundaries. We all have the things that close us in. We all have the things that stop us from achieving our potential. Yetzias Mitzrayim, Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, is because actually the Koyach HaEsnagdus, the fact that we did have such a Shibbur, the fact that we in our lives have our own such great Mitzorim, is the very reason why we're alive. And I'll leave you with this. One of the things, this is poshut. It's poshut. I'm speaking to people that know it's poshut, but it had a big impression. I heard this once from one of my rabbis in Yerushalayim. He said that there was a guy who had got hit on his head, and he woke up, and he's walking, and he finds himself in a fairground. So he goes to the walks around in the fairground, and he sees that this ride doesn't work, that ride doesn't work, this ride doesn't work, and he thinks, what is this all about? I'm in a fairground where there's no rides working. So he goes to the information desk, and the person says to him, what are you doing here? He says, well, that was the question I asked you. Why is none of the rides working? He says, well, look at the t-shirt. Look what you're wearing. And then it comes back to him because he'd been on the hit on the head, and it came back to him, and it comes back to him. He looks at the back of the t-shirt, and it says, Fairground Fixer.
No.
So he said, you're here to fix the rides. And that's what he spent the rest of his time doing there. So I heard this actually from Ritzchok Berkowitz, Zoliger's own side. He said that most people, they go through life waiting for the free ride. They're waiting for that escape, waiting for that break, right? That big break, when finally it's all going to be easy. When finally, whether it's Parnosa, whether it's Nachas with children, whether it's Shalom Bayis, we're waiting for that big break. And then we go to this thing, it's not working. This Chosson comes to you and says, ah, this isn't working. I've tried this Parnosa, it's not working. Tried this, not... Everyone seems to be walking around with rides that don't work. But the lesson you'd see us with Sarayim is that we're not here for the free ride. We're not here for the free ride. We're here to fix the rides. And when you fix the rides and then you ride in them, it's a whole different world. And that is the whole Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. That is the whole Beishanai Kenega Beis Hillel. That is the whole idea of why we're in the Golus in the first place. And our Ratatz told me something incredible. He said that as a doctor, when you look at a bone, when it's broken, you can always see straight away on an x-ray when it's broken. Why? Because as a doctor, he looks on the x-ray, the place where it's broken, it's much stronger. Right? It's denser. It doesn't break in the same place again. It kind of, you look at the bone and then it's a little bit thicker, the place where it had once broken. And that is the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Chaya is right. Hashem put us there in the first place, but it was only to make us stronger and starker in our lives of Avodas Hashem. Thank you.